Defense Department facing big budget cuts. The Pentagon says Secretary Robert Gates is working on a plan to meet the administration's goal of cutting another $400 billion in national security spending by 2023, but there is a string attached. Secretary Gates says if DOD's budget gets cut, its mission will have to be reduced. Dr. James Carafano is director of the Douglas and Sarah Allison Center for Foreign Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation and my guest to talk about cutting at the Pentagon. Dr. Carafano, great to talk to you again. Thanks for being on today. What did you think about this when you saw this yesterday, this combination of if we cut the budget, we have to cut the mission, and yet touting of the secretary's innovation was one of the words used in finding efficiencies in budget cuts?
Well, it's, you know, honestly, it's all smoke and mirrors. I mean, we ought to start with the secretary's innovations. But when you go through that, there's nothing, there's very, very little that I can actually identify that's innovative. So for example, cutting a program, anybody can do that. That's not innovative. We've done that all the time. We've canceled big programs before. It saves you a lot of money in the short term. But you don't talk about termination costs, which can be very expensive, and then you have to buy something because that program was there because it was a requirement. So if you're not going to buy that, you're going to buy something else. It takes time to develop that. That's more research and development. When you buy that other thing, it winds up being more costly. So in the end, cutting programs often winds up actually costing a lot of money. So it's very difficult to say now whether he's going to, over the long term, that'll save any money. When you look at many of the other things, they're not really, they're just cuts. So canceling the Joint Forces Command, for example, which, you know, we all knew was a useless command when it was created, but over the years, you know, there are a lot of activities have migrated to Joint Forces Command. Those activities are still going to have to get done by somebody. So at the end of the day, after you do all the transition costs of closing it down, moving people, turning it back over, are you really going to save a whole lot of money there when you're looking at hundreds of billions of dollars budget? Other things we know are just, they're just cuts. You know, we're going to eliminate contractors and we're going to insource it. Well, does that save you money? I mean, oftentimes government employees over the long term wind up costing you more. So many of these really, it's very, very difficult. I mean, the secretary had a memorandum. It was, went on to 42 pages of all the things they were doing, and they kept using the words savings, but there was actually no explanation of how is this really a savings, because you're not doing something. I cannot change the oil on my car. Yeah, I'm saving $19, but when my engine seizes up, you know, what have I really saved?
As we go through this and examine each of these things, what markers should we be looking for to be able to determine if something is an actual cut, or are some of these things such long-term projects and so on that's really hard to gauge that as we sit here today?
Well, that's a good question, because there is no criteria on a savings. That's a euphemistic term. And I think this is one of the areas where I really kind of question what is Congress doing. Congress should be holding the administration accountable. Somebody should be sitting down in a hearing and going through the 42 pages with the secretary and say, okay, explain to me how this is saving the government money. And we simply haven't done that. What we have is a Congress that is hungry to rein in anything, and they're like the drowning guy, you know, looking for a life raft. So they'll grab anything. And they'll say, oh, thank you for this $100 billion in savings. You know, and of course, they're cuts, they're not savings, and in many cases, and Gates said, look, I need this money to reinvest, and of course, many people in Washington, including the debt commission, other ones said, oh yeah, we need that for debt reduction. You know, here's a dirty little secret, which really nobody has talked about. I mean, we significantly reduced defense spending at the end of the Cold War, and defense spending continued to decline through 9/11. So in a sense, nobody had done in more to rein in the cost of government than defense. But what happened to the federal budget in those interim years? Did it get smaller? No, it got bigger. And a matter of fact, all cutting defense really did was hide how fast the rest of the government was growing.
What does it say to you, then, that the conversation that we're hearing in Washington, it seems now coming from almost everybody on both sides of the aisle, is what are we going to do? We can't. Defense has to be on the table, too. Cutting defense spending, cutting national security spending has to be on the table,
well,
too.
Well, this is one of the questions. That, look, everything is on the table. I mean, essentially, government is kind of a zero-based budgeting exercise. Every year, Congress funds to what's called discretionary spending. Congress has to fund everything that's every year. So to say everything needs to be on the table, everything's been on the table since the Constitution was written, and everything is still on the table. So that, I think, is a really fallacious thing. But what it does do is and this is a different argument, which is we have to pretend that all the money spent by the federal government is the same, is exactly the same, and that a dollar cut everywhere is equal. And that's, of course, that's not true. All that money is not spent for the same reason. The money you spend to do defense is different than other things. So treating all forms of spending equally, if that's what you mean by putting everything on the table, that's kind of crazy.
All right. I want to talk more about, when we come back from the break, about where you think we should go if we're going to get real savings or real efficiencies, or if that's even where you think we need to go. My guest is Dr. James Carafano of the Heritage Foundation. We'll continue our conversation in a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Also coming up on In Depth with Francis Rose, and your cybersecurity update, your agency's help wanted sign for cyber pros going unanswered. It's 4:13 on In Depth. We'll be right back.
What does sustainability truly mean? How can agencies overcome the cultural, policy, and organizational resistance to change? In the midst of challenging economic circumstances, looming budget constraints, and compliance requirements with recent executive orders and policy directives, U.S. government agencies are under increased pressure to employ sustainability practices. Understanding the importance of sustainable efficiency in operations and the impact that the use of natural resources has on both our environment and our well-being as a society is paramount. Listen to Beyond Green, Making Sustainability Sustainable, as part of the Booz Allen Hamilton Expert Voices panel series, featuring sustainability experts from across government, Thursday, April 21st at 11 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. For more information, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen, or visit the Expert Voices blog at boozallen.com/expertvoices.
Federally employed women, few, the organization of choice for leadership, equity, and the advancement of women, would like to extend an invitation to FEW's 42nd National Training Program, NTP. Your future, let it ring the sound of success, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, July 18th through 22nd. The NTP program is the largest training opportunity in the world for women in federal employment. The training program will again include training tracks, which will result in focused, career-enhancing training and a better-trained employee in the following subject areas: executive leadership, project management, science and technology, business analysis, and human resources. The networking opportunities are endless. You will meet other government employees at all grade levels from across the nation. The 2011 NTP program, your future, let it ring the sound of success, in Philadelphia, July 18th through 22nd. For more details or to sign up, please call 202-898-0994. That's 202-898-0994, or visit fewnpt.org. That's fewnpt.org.
Market risk, higher taxes, high unemployment, uncertainty, retirement. This is Steve Burton, president of Equity One, and I would like to invite you to our tax-free retirement workshop at the Morton Steakhouse in Tyson's Corner on Wednesday, April the 20th at 7 p.m. Call 1-877-313-4080 to RSVP. You must be a homeowner and have a retirement account to attend. Call 1-877-313-4080. Learn how to make market gains without market risk, and that tax deferred is not tax free. Would you like to create your own private pension plan? To attend this event at Morton Steakhouse in Tyson's Corner on Wednesday, April the 20th, call 1-877-313-4080, or you can register online at equityoneinc.com. That's equity1inc.com, or call 1-877-313-4080.
I'm Amy Morris. Here's a look at Wednesday morning's Federal Drive. Space Shuttle Discovery is going to make its final trip to the Smithsonian. We'll talk with the folks who are going to put Discovery on display. And we get a progress report on how the Coast Guard is improving its acquisitions management and what comes next. That and more Wednesday morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. For all the latest federal news, check out our website, federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest is Dr. James Carafano, director of the Douglas and Sarah Allison Center for Foreign Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation. He's an expert in national security and defense spending issues, among other topics, and talking about the word out of the Pentagon yesterday that Secretary Gates is working with the administration and with Admiral Mike Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The Pentagon says to find additional cost savings beyond the $400 billion in reduction the department's made in the past 2 years. The goal's an additional $400 billion in national security cuts through 2023. That's the goal, Dr. Carafano. Is that a reasonable goal, or where should this all be headed, or does the top line even really matter?
Well, I mean, I think there are savings. Again, I think, again, the Gates savings are mostly not savings. They're just cuts. So where would you find real savings? And I think there are two areas. One is manpower costs. Manpower costs are the most rapidly rising part of the defense budget. They're the largest part of the defense budget. Getting manpower costs under control ought to be job one. And we ought to find a way of doing it without cutting manpower. Manpower is the human capital of the military. The armed forces is the single most valuable product that the military produces. So cutting troops to save money is just stupid. It would be like, you know, Apple saying, well, let's get rid of the iPad. You know, you want to keep the troops because that's your most valuable asset, but you need to make that cost effective. So manpower cost reforms would be number one. Number two on my list would be logistics. We have very inefficient logistics in the military. Everyone says that's where literally upwards of hundreds of billions of dollars of savings really are. We need to quit going after acquisition. We're killing acquisition. We're going to buy nothing with awesome efficiency. But here I think it's a big problem is let's say we save hundreds of billions of dollars in defense spending. What we need to do with that money is reinvest it in defense, because the problem is we've been underfunding defense, and all the money we've been dumping into the Pentagon since 9/11 has really gone to pay for the wars. We haven't reinvested in defense since the end of the Cold War. We had that long decade of underfunding under Clinton. We haven't modernized since the end of the Cold War. We've got to recapitalize all the stuff that we used during the Long War. So we've got these huge bills that we have to pay. So cutting defense now, this would be like taking a guy who can't make his mortgage every month and cutting his paycheck. And essentially what Gates is saying is we're going to save money, we're just not going to pay the mortgage.
All right,
it's not sustainable.
Your number one proposal is cutting manpower costs.
No, cutting manpower costs.
Manpower. Not people, yes. Secretary Gates proposed increases in TRICARE premiums to have the members of the military paying more for their own health care. And you would have thought in Congress that he had proposed cutting everybody out of the military altogether. Members went nuts on that.
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, we have to have an adult conversation, number one. Number two, that was also not a very good proposal. I mean, we need much more fundamental reforms and help. Look, in many cases, we're giving soldiers the wrong kinds of benefits. We're giving them in-kind benefits and deferred benefits, where we'd actually be much, much better off just giving them the cash and giving them a savings account that they could use for whatever they want to. So, I mean, we're heaping very expensive, unsustainable benefits on the military. In many cases, they're not really the kind they want or need, and we don't actually need those kind of benefits to keep people from reenlisting and staying in the military over career. So our benefit structure is really kind of all screwed up, and you do need fundamental reforms, which is hard because you're right. When you try to have an adult conversation, everybody goes through the roof. Where I would fault Gates is one thing is that was a very, very tiny little thing which would have accomplished nothing over the long term. So it didn't solve the big problem, and two, it was wrong kind of reform. So, you know, first you have to have an adult conversation, but then you have to have real meaning reforms that are really going to get these costs under control.
There were a couple of quotes in this piece that the Pentagon put out yesterday that I thought were interesting. The Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs, Douglas Wilson, said, we've been given a mission and the Secretary will undertake it. Jeff Morrell, Press Secretary at the Pentagon, said the President wants us to continue this effort with the goal of significant additional savings over the coming decade. Is there anything that you're reading between the lines in those words?
Yes, which is very simple, is we are taking how you normally plan defense budgets, which is you say, what do we need to defend America? And then this is what we're going to pay to do that. And we're saying, look, here's the money you have. Give us the defense you can afford on the pennies we're going to give you. You know, this is honestly, and then this discussion about, okay, well, we'll just take missions off the table. Well, that's not going to happen. You know, this is exactly what we did before the Korean War. When they said, here's the amount of money you have, and you just defend what you can with that money. And the Joint Chiefs said, fine, we're not going to defend Korea. And everybody said, fine. And then what happened? North Korea invaded South Korea, and what did we do? We sent troops to South Korea, and we sent them there in sneakers and guns that didn't work. And that's what's going to happen next time. If you start taking vital American interests off the table because we just can't afford to defend that anymore, when those interests are threatened in a democracy, what a president's going to do is he's going to stand up and say, we're going to defend that. And not only will we go defend that, it'll cost us a lot more money to do it. You know, this is like if you had a roof on your house, and instead of fixing the leak, you just let the roof collapse. And of course, once the roof collapsed, you said, well, I've got to fix it. So you wind up spending 1,000 times more. And if you'd have just maintained the roof, you'd have been okay. If we would maintain the military that we need to, for the missions that we know we're going to have to do, we'd be fine. But using the military in an obscene effort to balance the budget, which, oh, by the way, isn't going to work if we don't address the fundamental physical issues like the growth of the federal debt and entitlement costs and the runaway cost growths in government, those things are going to eat the entire federal budget anyway, even if defense spending goes to zero. So making yourself less safe winds up costing you more in the long run. It gets soldiers killed. It compromises vital national interests. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really solve the problem.
Dr. Carafano, I'd love to have you come back and talk more specifically about logistics on a program in the future where we can spend a little more time and focus just on that, because you're not the first person, nor will you be the last, to say that's an area that some cost savings can be realized.
Thanks.